Passage of scripture was on my heart a few days ago, and just felt led of the Lord this morning to share it with you. Starting in verse number 1 of 1 Kings 13, "And behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel. And Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. And he cried against the altar in the word of the Lord and said, O altar, O altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name. And upon thee shall he offer the priest of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon thee. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, This is the sign which the Lord hath spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out." I don't want to stop reading there, but just let me insert this. This young man gives a prophecy of the Lord. This young man that comes to us from Bethel, God's hand is upon him, and he gives us a prophecy that does not come to pass for some 360 years later. We don't have time to talk about that prophecy this morning. What I want to talk about is this young man. This young man is being used of God. This young man, I want our eyes to fall upon him and realize that he is in a position right now where he is prophesying of an event that's going to take nearly four centuries to come to pass. There's no doubt in any of our minds he's used of God right now. But I want you to follow with me as this story unfolds. Verse number 14, the Bible says that there's an older prophet introduced, and the older prophet went after the man of God and found him sitting under an oak. And he said unto him, Art thou the man of God that camest from Judah? And he said, I am. Then he said unto him, Come home with me and eat bread. And he said, I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water with thee in this place. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord. Who said it? God said it. Thou shalt not eat bread nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way that thou camest. Notice what he says, verse number 18. He said unto me, I am a prophet also as thou art. And an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, Bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him. The last part of the story is in verse number 24. This young man does not obey God's word, and here's the calamity. And when he was gone, a lion met him by the way and slew him. 20-some verses later from the beginning of this chapter, the very first picture, this young man is anointed of God, and he is prophesying. 20-some verses later, his carcass is lying there as the lion stands over him. It's a sad story. And it's a story, with the Lord's help, I'd like to share with you today, if God be our helper. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for your mercy that is new every morning. Speak to us today clearly. Lord, let us hear what you're trying to say to us. Let us respond and be obedient to it. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. About this young prophet, there are only two aspects that I want to deal with today. I want to deal, first of all, with the faith of this young prophet, and then I want to deal with his failure. There is no doubt in any of our minds that this young man is being greatly used of God, and he has a relationship with God. Verse number 1, the Bible says that he was a prophet. He was a prophet. He was God's voice to a dark world. That at a young age, he decided to use his voice and his energy and his resources for God's work and the kingdom of God. Make no mistake about it, this is not a hireling. This is not a hope to be prophet, but this is a young man that the Bible says is a prophet of God. And he's such a mature, stable, consistent young prophet that the Bible says God sends him on a special mission. That God sends him alone on a mission to withstand King Jeroboam. There is no doubt in my mind that this young man is in love with God. that this young man has witnessed and is anointed by God and being used of God. I'd love to be on a mission for God again today, wouldn't you? Isn't it wonderful when God directs our lives? The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. And so this young man approaches King Jeroboam and begins to give out a decree. The king does not like the decree, and the Bible says that as he begins to reach his hand toward the young prophet, his hand withers up. It begins to pull back like in a palsied position. And so the Bible teaches us that as this young prophet begins to pray for Jeroboam, his hand is restored, or that this young man is going to be used by God in miracles. He was a prophet. He was on God's mission. He's being used by God in miracles. He's mature enough in verse number 8 when the king says, come home with me. I want to, for what you've done today, I want to repay you. I want to give you monetary value. This young man was mature enough to remember God's word that said, I don't want you to eat, I don't want you to drink, and I don't want you to come back the same way that you went. So he withstood the pressure of a king. Think about it now. This young man is entitled or invited to sit at the king's table, which would be a very privileged position, would be a position that offers great influence to a young man, and maybe the whole kingdom is opened up. But he had the maturity that he rejects the world and he rejects worldly rewards and enticements, and he'd rather lift up his voice for God than to be silenced by prosperity. The Bible said that he spoke for God. Verse 2, he cried out against the altar. He was not some kind of mealy mouth, milk toast, but he was one that was willing to lift up his voice and say, thus saith the word of God. And I got news for you. He was also protected by God, because I think when that king went to stretch forth his hand to take him, that the angel of God put a curse on Jeroboam and said, you're not going to touch this young prophet. He's in the will of God. Hear me today, young folks and church as well. I believe young people can be used of God. Don't you? I really do. Thank God that we all can be on a mission for God. And I'd love to see the miracle working power again alive in this generation. Amen. God, touch us again. God, open the windows of heaven and pour out your spirit upon us and bless us again afresh and anew. And God, give us some young people that can speak out for God. Amen. God, give us some young people that when the battle is put to the test on the job or in the school or at home, they don't just bow their head and get quiet, but they lift up their voice and say, thus saith the word of God. Be it a king, be it a boss, be it a co-worker, be it a friend, amen, stand up for God and say, thus saith the word of the Lord. And if you'll do that, friend, I believe God will protect us. Amen. I believe God will overshadow us with his mercy and his grace and his power. Amen. God, do it one more time. Can you say amen? The Bible says that in verse number 14, we find this young man. And the first thing we notice about him is his position. He's sitting down. Right after a great move of God, right after seeing a miracle performed by God, right after speaking out for God, and right after God directing him and anointing him, we find him sitting down after a revival. Matter of fact, sitting down in enemy territory, just sitting down. We just can't stop, can we? I mean, we just got out of revival. You say, Brother Ross, we've been here every night this week. We're just give us a day off. We'll just let us rest a little while. But that's the danger, is it not? When you began just to sit down and get complacent, When you sit down and stop moving forward, when you sit down and quit listening to God and begin to rationalize your own thoughts, when you just sit down and quit moving forward in God and quit trying to get closer to God and be a revival over. That was Friday night. This is the way I feel about things. I thank God for what he did in revival, but that was over Friday night, and now it's Sunday morning. And amen, I got to get closer to God than I was Friday night. The devil's not out of business. The devil, amen, the devil's not going to take us out of his plans and his agenda. He's not going out of business, but he would love for some of us just to kind of sit down by the oak tree, amen, and some of you that got a few gray hairs on your head know that he'll try to do the same thing to you as well, amen. Well, your day's come and gone, just try to sit down by the oak tree and let's rest a little while, amen. But the trouble is, when you sit down and quit moving forward, amen, there's some older prophets, amen, the devil can begin to work, amen, the battle can arise. Amen, when you sit down, you get complacent. When you get complacent, you get critical. When you get critical, you get bitter. And I don't want to go there. Amen, I want to keep working for God. Amen, I want to keep running for God. Amen, all this Sunday morning. Amen, let me purpose again, God. Amen, I want you to be first in my life. Amen, I want to be closer to you, God. Amen, I come and give you praise and thank you for what you did for revival. Amen. Thank you for the lives that were changed and the souls that were blessed. Thank you for everything you did. Amen. But Jesus, you haven't come yet. We're still in a wicked world. We're still facing a real devil. And I don't want to sit down and quit. I don't want to get complacent. Amen. And so the Bible said that this young man is faced with an older prophet. You know, the one thing about it is, once you're a preacher, you're always a preacher. Obviously, this older preacher had a little bit of his conviction still with him, but he certainly had begun to wane in his walk with God. I don't believe he set out with the evil intention to destroy this young man, because this young man knew God's word. This young man should have withstood him and he should have obeyed God. But the way we are sometimes, people change. People change. People that used to shout with you will now talk about you because you're living like you're living. There have been times I've watched people lead somebody to the Lord, that new convert get established and start walking for God, and then that other person backslide. It's amazing, isn't it? I've watched wives pray for their husbands to get saved. Their husbands get saved and do good for God, and then the wife backslides. People change. And matter of fact, preachers change. Some preachers that preach holiness stop preaching it. Some that claim to be one thing change over time. And if we're not careful, a lot of times what we do is because what we'll do is we'll remember somebody at their heyday and not at their last moment. You see, the songwriter said it well, I want my last mile to be the best mile that I've ever run for the Lord. And one scripture that really, really, really alarms me is that scripture that says, when the righteous turneth to unrighteous, all of his righteousness is blotted out. I mean, we're good at preaching the theology this way, because in the same Bible verse, when the unrighteous turns to the righteous, all the unrighteousness is wiped away. And we shout about that and thank God for that. Thank God, I'm glad we can go to the altar and all our sins are forgiven. And thank God, thank God, thank God. All my transgressions are washed away. But that same Bible verse says, when the righteous turns to unrighteous, all the righteous, whether you serve 40 years for God, 40 years for God, and you turn aside, those 40 years are gone. You can't just pray back through and start right over where you left off. It's all gone. Preach thousands of messages, but you turn aside and go a different way, it's as if you never preached one message. Sing hundreds and thousands of verses and songs, bless many, many people, turn aside, and it's like you never sang a song. That's serious to me right there. Because you see, there's a lot of people that turn aside, and usually when they turn aside, they want to take somebody with them. Have you ever noticed that? When somebody's backsliding, they don't want to just, they want to take somebody with them. Somebody's backsliding in the family, it'll begin to weigh on the whole family. Somebody's backsliding in the youth group, they'll try to take two or three young people with them. Dad backslides, and all of a sudden we see married children backslide because we just take people with us. And so here is this young man. He's sitting by an oak tree. He's anointed of God. I mean, God has used him in miracles. God protected him from the king. He just rejected all the kingdom's influence and money. And here he is. He's just tired. But he still knows God's word. And here's the thing, young folks, and anybody else. This is really what I felt impressed to come and tell somebody today. You cannot listen to any man or anybody, be an angel, more than you can the written word of God. I mean, there's some silver-tongued orators that tell us that it's all on the inside and it doesn't matter what you do on the outside. I mean, and they can paint a pretty picture, and I mean, they can just appeal to the fleshly side of all of us. But when we open the word of God, when we open God's word, God said that we are that city that is set on a hill, that we are a light in a dark night, that people should ask us where we go to church, or they should ask us what's different about our life. They shouldn't have to work for us for years and then discover we're a child of God. I mean, there ought to be something so magnetic and so different about our life that coworkers ought to, I didn't say they'd follow you to church, but at least they ought to know that you're not part of this world, that we've been called out, that we've been separated, that we are in this world, but we are not of this world, that we're not to touch the unclean thing. Amen. Those are not my words, but that's four Bible verses, friend, that God reiterating over and over and over again, just like he did with the nation of Israel. God protected them and blessed them. And yes, he gave them that land that flowed with milk and honey. But he did not want them intermarrying. He wanted them off to themselves. He wanted them isolated. He wanted them to showcase his glory and his power. They were not to blend in with the Canaanites. Amen. They were not to blend in with this world. They were to dress different. They were to look different. They had different God. They had a different God. They had different rituals of worship. Amen. God wanted them to know that they were the elect of God. And it's still the same way today, friend. Amen. God will bless us. Amen. God will give us that land that flows with milk and honey. Amen. But I'm not going to be backed in a corner by silver-tongued orators that sell out our inheritance and sell out our convictions and forfeit the land that flows with milk and honey. No, sir. Amen. I'm going to stay with what got me in this good old way. Amen. I'm glad to be saved. Amen. Glad to be sanctified. Amen. Glad to be full of the Holy Ghost. Glad to be filled with the Spirit of God. Amen. And I believe it's the right road, friend. And so I'm glad we've got the written word of God, aren't you? Don't ever take anybody's word. Don't ever take, if you can't prove it by Scripture, if you can't. I mean, we can talk about ladies' apparel and ladies' dress. We can talk about the hair on men and hair on women because it's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. Do y'all ever have Duff's smorgasbord down here? You remember Duff's smorgasbord? Long time ago, right? It's when I was a kid. I made a vow to God when I was little that if I ever got married before Jesus came and I was able to choose restaurants, Duff's smorgasbord would not be, I would not go back. I hated that place. I love fried chicken since I was born, but they didn't even have good fried chicken. I don't think I've been back since I was a teenager. Got no desire to go now, brother. Not going to lose my conviction now, praise God. But you know about that Duff Smorgasbord. I mean, who likes buffets? Everybody sneezing and handling everything. And how many plan on going to a buffet after church today? That's back before they put up the glass plexi shields and all that stuff. Smorgasbord. Yeah, I'll take a little of this, but I don't want that. I don't want that. I don't want that. I'll take a little of that. I don't want that. I don't want that. I don't want that. I'll take a little of this. It's pretty much about the theology of America today. Oh, I'll take that prosperity. I like that prosperity. You see that preacher in the paper the other day preaching on prosperity? Yeah, they like that prosperity. Yeah, I would too if I made over $100 million in a year, wouldn't you? Yeah, we like that. Yeah, prosperity, that sounds good. Give me that prosperity. Oh, sacrifice, commitment? No. No, we don't want that. Land that flows with milk and honey, divine healing. Oh, yeah, we'll take that. Carrying a cross? I don't know about all that. Just like a buffet. I'll take this, but I don't want that. Take this, but I don't want that. You can't do that with God, friend. It's not a buffet. We don't get to pick and choose, do we? We don't get to. It's in God's word. It's the whole counsel of God's word. And here is this young man that says, I know what God said, but this older preacher says, I'm a preacher as well. I mean, I'm a prophet too. Isn't that what they tell you at work? You don't have to live like that. We're Christians too. You don't have to dress like, we're all Christians. We're all going to heaven together. We're all saved. Oh, you know exactly what they say. It does matter, friend. Because this book says, we're going to give an account of what's in it, number one. Number two, it says, if we add to or take away, let him be accursed. Greek word anathema, obliterated, done away with. God's pretty serious about you and I knowing what's in his word. I mean, that sounds really good. Oh, it don't matter. We're all going to heaven. Hallelujah. I'd love to preach that. I mean, wouldn't you love to go home to all some of your family today that aren't living right? You know they're not living right according to God's word and say, guess what? We're all going to heaven. It don't matter. Woo! What sounds fine in this world? But when that trumpet sounds and we're all transported to another world and the word of God is opened up and what's found written in, we have to give an account for. It don't matter. We're all going, no. That whole tenor of that conversation doesn't even sound like Jesus. The whole tenor of that conversation, it don't matter. We're all going to heaven. Hallelujah. You can believe in three. You can believe in one. And you don't even have to have the Holy Ghost. You know, I got a good Baptist friend that I'm trying to get his eyes open. We're struggling, but, you know, we're trying. We go back and forth with all the jokes or whatever. And he came to that funeral a few weeks ago, and he come in, and he had found an earring out in that parking lot. And he come in. I saw his eyes glittering, and I knew what he was going to say. He going to get me for letting up a little bit around here. And I said, before he even started, I said, I'm sorry about that. We had some Baptist people visiting this morning. I'm sure they dropped that. So we go back and forth and all that. I mean, we do. We have a good time. We really do. We have a good time. And we tell that story about that kid that sold them puppies and was $10 when their eyes were closed and $25 when their eyes opened up. You know, they were the Baptists become Pentecostals. And we tell all those jokes. But friend, it does matter what you believe. That whole tenor. Jesus, I mean, think about Jesus. I mean, he's asking these disciples, I want you to change your careers. I want you to follow me the next 3.5 years. I want you to risk your life. Some of you, I'm going to ask you to become martyrs. I'm going to found my church upon you. I want you to take up your cross. I want you to deny yourself. I want you to put your hand to the plow. Don't look back or you're not fit. I want you to love me more than mother, father, sister, brother. And oh, by the way, it really doesn't matter what anybody believes because we're all going to heaven. That flies in the face of the whole tenor of the life of Jesus. I want to be right. I mean, I want to study this book. Every aspect of our life, I believe we can substantiate with God's word. So young people, you don't have to bow your head. You don't have to mumble or grumble. We can open up God's word. Yeah, we're never going to be the majority. We understand that. God's people have never been the majority. Matter of fact, he said there's going to be few that find the straight and narrow. Matter of fact, he said the crowd's going to be kind of small. So when he comes again, will he even find faith on the earth? That's why we can't figure out, but the world cannot carnally figure out why Israel is still in existence. With the wars that they've been through and how small they are, that little nation the size of New Jersey, how in the world can they withstand being hated like they are all around that region? How are they still in existence as little as they are? We're never going to be in the majority. Never have, never will. Well, one day I guess we will. One day we will. But for right now, friend, this young prophet, you know what? I'm a preacher like you are. So he heads home with the older preacher, knowing full well he's going against what God said. So young people, hear me well. Once you know what God says, you can't act like you don't. Once you know what God says, you can't act like you don't. I stood yesterday in the hospital and talked to a backslider 30 minutes, and you can act like you don't, but you do. You do. It's there. Once you know what God wants out of our life. The Bible said that the lion comes and there's this young man lying here. And it's sad because today we're going to have a funeral when this morning we had a miracle. I tell you what the devil would love to do to you young folks is to turn your miracles into funerals. This morning when the sun come up, here was this young man in God's house speaking for God and being anointed by God. And when the sun sets, today is his funeral. Because once you know what God says to do and go against it, when sin is conceived, when lust is conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, it bringeth forth death. Would you stand with me this morning? The lion matters not his prey. Doesn't matter whether it be young or old. Doesn't matter to him at all. He's just out to destroy whom he may ever. Not what the scripture says. Because the devil as a roaring lion seeketh whom he may devour. It didn't matter to him. What does God's word say? What does God's word say, friend? What does God's word say? I want to be right on the day of judgment. I've got family members that, you know. We're all going. I believe in God. We're all going to heaven. Well, the Bible says if you're really saved, there's going to be some fruit. If you're really that spiritual, then your life is going to match up to God's holy word. And I want God's anointing in my life, don't you? How many young people want to be used by God? How many you'd love to have the hand of God upon your life in a greater way? But I know the devil's going to try to turn you aside, but I'm going to tell you, don't sit down. Don't quit. We just ended revival, but you know what we need to do? We need to start another revival here today. You say, we're going to have revival all this week? No, but we need to start a revival here this morning again. We need to keep those revival fires burning till Jesus comes again. Like in the book of Leviticus chapter number 6, the fire was upon the altar and it was to never go out. Young folks, hear me. You don't have time to sit down and just begin to rest and think, and you don't have time. The devil is circling you and doing everything he can to destroy your life. Find God's word for your life. Stand on the word of God. Speak out for God. Stand up for the Lord in the day and the hour that we're living. Because that lion, seeking whom he may devour, I don't want him in my life. Do you? Amen. Brother Mark, let's sing a little bit before we come to this altar this morning. Amen. Let's ask God to speak to us today. Hallelujah. Praise God.
I'm on the battlefield for my Lord.